is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I'm a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Amen. What a privilege it is to be a part of a ministry where the word of faith is taught on a consistent basis. Amen. Things begin to happen when you receive the word with an open heart and begin to put into practice what you're being taught. Amen. I want to talk to you tonight on the topic, faith speaks. Faith speaks. Pastor James, when he asked me to teach tonight, he said, would you continue in what Dr. Grant was talking about on Sunday? So we're going to do a little review over what he shared. His lesson was entitled, How to Talk Like God. And then we're going to kind of go into some fresh things. And I want to share with you a testimony or two. Amen. But we're coming off that incredible series this past Sunday. Did you enjoy this past Sunday? Yeah. Amen. Wasn't that faith building and life changing? Amen. So Dr. Grant, he taught us on Sunday that faith involves four things. First, our ears. Second, our heart. Third, our mouth. And fourth, our hands. And he really zoned in on one of the four, which was the mouth. And so we're going to do the same thing. We're going to focus on the mouth. And some key statements Dr. Grant shared on Sunday. This will sound familiar, but I want to just highlight four. Number one, my mouth affects my life. Number two, the words I have spoken in the past make life what it is today. Number three, I've got some say-so. You got to love Dr. Grant. And number four, my words have everything to do with my outcome. And so we're going to continue talking about how to talk like God, really, under faith speaks. What we heard on Sunday highlights the fact that we are living in a word-created universe. The universe that we're living in was created by the word. Hebrews 11 and 3 in the King James, it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. In Genesis 1 and 3 in the King James, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. You know, God didn't say, doggone it, it's dark in here, right? He said, he saw the problem and spoke the solution, and the solution manifested. So your world and what you see in your life is created the same way. Faith speaks. There's this notion that somehow words are not powerful. You've all heard the saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. That sounds good, but in actuality, it's not true. Words have power. Words can build up, and words can tear down. Interesting to note that because words have such power, the Supreme Court has ruled that even though we believe in freedom of speech, an individual cannot go into a crowded theater and shout fire due to the public safety issues that would arise. The Supreme Court has acknowledged that there's power in words. I would submit to you this evening that words created a world war. I would argue that World War II did not start on the battlefield. If you're a history buff, you know Germany invaded Poland in 1939, and that was the official, in terms of timeline, start of the of World War II. But World War II started in a prison cell in the early 20th century when a prisoner by the name of Adolf Hitler wrote a book called Mein Kampf, which translates My Struggle. Evil was working in his heart. He spelled out everything he would do if he ever got into power. Let me give you a positive example. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s speech, I Have a Dream, changed the course of human history. Those four words echoed throughout the world and still do to this day, continuing to advocate for equality and equal treatment for all. Why is this? Because words are powerful. There is no such thing as an empty word. Words are containers. And it's important to understand that's why the scripture commands us to be slow to speak. Because words are powerful. That's James 1 and 19, part of that verse. So words are not empty and they cannot be taken lightly. Words are powerful. Words create the very thing that is spoken of. That is why it's so important that I make the decision to speak what God says about me. Our faith is incomplete without the obedience of our mouth. Our faith is incomplete without the obedience of our mouth. I cannot walk by faith and keep my mouth out of it.
The simplest act of faith is to speak in agreement with God's word. God does not violate the order he has set in place, which is why we need to conform our words to his word, to what he is saying, which is why it's so important that we set our will to be in a faith atmosphere. Romans 10:17, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But you and I have a responsibility as believers to put ourselves in an atmosphere where faith can keep coming. I can't do that for you, and you can't do that for me. Amen? Because faith keeps coming when I keep hearing. I don't have to care how it looks, I stick with the word. I don't have to care how it feels, I stick with the word. 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, we walk by faith and not by sight. So I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by this sense realm. I'm only moved by what I believe. And in the salvation experience, when someone receives Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, you could say they get born again. There's many different phrases we use for the same experience. Romans 10:9-10, in the King James, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So believing and speaking is how you and I change kingdoms. You were translated from one kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of light. Not just by believing. Believing really isn't good enough. James says demons believe and tremble. But demons will never call Jesus Lord. Demons will never confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus. But you and I have that ability to make that decision. So if you did not confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus tonight, you'd still be in the wrong kingdom. There's power in words. Faith speaks, amen? Your faith is incomplete until you speak it out of your mouth. Faith is not silent. Faith is not quiet. Bible faith speaks. It's not quiet. If someone says that they're in faith, you can tell by what's coming out of their mouth. Amen? Amen. If you're an introvert, you still got to speak. Isn't that right? You still got to speak. Maybe you want to go by yourself and speak, but you got to speak. Okay, you need to hear your voice reciting the word of God. I was talking to one of my girls. I'm not going to read out which one because I love them all, and that's not the point. But we were talking about confession, and one of them was like, man, it sounds so silly. It sounds so childish. And I was explaining to her, well, that's the point. You've got to have the faith of a child in order to come into the kingdom. You know, and it's kind of funny because, Lizzie, what's up, Lizzie? She has the easiest time confessing the word. Okay, she just says, she walks around the house, this is my Bible. I am what it says. She was doing that the other night. I'm like, you better believe it. Amen. So Bible faith speaks. We saw the believing and the confessing is how I changed destinies. I went from darkness to light based on what I believed and confessed. That principle carries into any promise of God. My life can be transformed from poverty to wealth based on what I believe and what I confess. My life can move from sickness to health based on what I believe and then what I confess. I can move from stress to peace based on what I believe and what I confess. But believing in the heart without confession in the mouth is incomplete. We believe and therefore we speak. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says exactly that twice. In the King James it says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. You see the progression twice where it says believe right after it says and therefore. So it follows naturally. If you believe, believing is going to flow over into you speaking. But the key is we've got to be intentional. All right, we cannot allow ourselves to be intimidated by the sense realm. Amen? I know one time my wife was at the doctor's office, and her blood pressure was a little bit high. And she spoke right out, the devil is a liar. And that lady was kind of like looking at her. She's like... Well, that blood pressure, that cuff was speaking, saying that, no, you're not, you know, your blood pressure isn't right. And, you know, Deb being the big, bad, bold self that she is, she was going to say something, you know. So I probably would have said it a little more quietly. Excuse me, I need to go to the restroom. And then, why is somebody yelling in the bathroom? It's like, all right. If I believe it, I have to be intentional about saying it. I believe, therefore, I speak. You can change what you have by changing what you say. I must break free of the destructive cycle of saying what I see or feel. If we are not careful, what happens is we'll get caught up in this web of words. And we cannot escape the words that we speak. We cannot outrun the words that we speak. We end up living what we speak consistently. So if we don't like what we see, we've got to change what we say. It's important that we realize that no one has more authority in your life than you do. Amen. I can encourage you. I can pray with you. But you can get off the phone and say, that was a bunch of garbage, right? And it won't work, right? You have got to be intentional and put forth some effort. You know, I was talking, well, I keep bringing up my kids. My kids are always in my mind because I got five of them, so it's not one, the other one. You know, there's always one of them in my mind, and one of them had taken a test, and they didn't do so well. And she told me later, she's like, I knew I was going to fail. I said, well, that's why you did. And I mean, she was a little bit kind of in pity party mode. I'm like, oh boy, here come the tears. I said, but I did not excuse her from the fact that her mouth told on her heart, and so she got to build her faith and declare what the word says. I said, but that is love. Here's the tissue, you know, do what you want. No, no, no. What you say is important. Where you end up has everything to do with what you say. You want to drive different, speak different. You want to live in a different neighborhood, speak different. Amen? So if we don't like what we see, we've got to change what we say. Proverbs 4 and 23. And don't go asking them which one was it. Don't get me. Dad, why'd you tell? I didn't say your name. Come on now. Proverbs 4, 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I have the power to keep my heart right. And this is important because I want to link this with what Jesus said in Matthew 12, 34. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If I don't keep my heart right, what I say with my mouth will not agree with the word of God. If my heart's wrong, then my speaking will be wrong. So I've got to keep my heart right. Faith speaks. So I can't allow my faith to get contaminated by things that don't belong in my heart, because the scriptural principle is I'm going to speak it out. So I got to be careful what I let in there, because it's going to come out of there and it's going to produce something. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Ain't no use holding a grudge. They forgot about it anyway and don't care. So free yourself and forgive them and move on. Amen. You know, through the years, I've gotten a lot better at that. I kind of came up in church, but a very, very, very judgmental setting. And I was really just the hardest on myself. So, you know, oftentimes when we have a hard time forgiving others because we first have a hard time forgiving ourselves, right? So you've got to, it's hard to, really, you love your neighbor as yourself. So you need to learn how to love yourself, because you can't love your neighbor until you learn how to love you. Amen. You can't get along with your neighbor until you know how to get along with you. That's the truth. Amen. So I will end up speaking wrong things out of a wrong heart. Here's the key. If I keep my heart right, I can keep my mouth right. Let's go to Mark 11, 22, 23. You enjoying this so far? Amen. All right. Mark 11, 22, 23, familiar passage. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. A couple questions we need to consider. Do we speak to our mountain, or do we just let our mountain speak to us? Are we determined to move the mountains in our lives, or do we just let them move us? There's a difference between speaking about something or someone and speaking to something or someone. It's one thing for me to tell you that my wife is beautiful, but it's something different for me to say, Debbie, you're beautiful. Getting weak in the knees up here, right? I'm so sorry. I always acknowledge my wife as part of my teaching, and I need to. I absolutely adore that woman. Amen. 17 years in September, best decision I've ever made, next to serving Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. I always get that in there somewhere. I have certain, like, I got to do certain things in a certain order, right? All right, so results don't come when you talk about the mountain. Results come when you talk to the mountain. That's where the results come. And this is where we have to be careful, is in being consumed with the mountain. It's so easy to get out the tape measure and say the mountain is this high and this wide and this deep, and we know all about the mountain, and we talk all about the mountain. And instead of declaring the word, we've become distracted, and we end up giving life and more life, declaring life over the mountain by meditating on it and talking about it so much. And the whole time, while I'm magnifying the mountain, God has given me the ability to speak to the mountain, and that mountain has to obey. Doesn't matter how wide it is, how deep it is, amen. When you declare the word, the power of the mountain weakens. When you declare the word, I'm a very visual person. I love this. Pastor would say, did you bring your shouting shoes? When you declare the word, the power of the mountain weakens. Because I'm a visual person. So I see myself talking to a mountain and it's strong. And I keep speaking to it and keep speaking to it. And see, what happens is the mountain begins to weaken before it's visible on the outside. And then slowly but surely, as I continue to declare the word like a bulldozer, it may not be noticeable at first, but there's a small crack in the mountain. The speaking is beginning to take effect. And as I continue to declare the word and declare the word, what happens is the crack gets larger and larger, and eventually that mountain comes crashing to the ground. That's why you got to be determined when you speak and understand that as soon as I speak, I may not see it, but it doesn't mean that it's not working, because the angels of God are released on assignment and waiting to go to where I send them as soon as I declare the word. Praise God. I see a visual. You see that visual? I see that vision, man. That mountain, all right, is not Lord. That mountain, there's power in the word of God, and you and I must speak it and declare it. So the way the Holy Spirit gave it to me, mountains cannot read your mind, but they can read your lips. They can't read your mind. Believing, oh, I wish you would go away, and you're thinking all these thoughts. No, 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 speak, say something. Be bold enough to talk. Praise God. Something happens when you begin to speak. If I keep saying what the word says. And keep saying what the word says. And keep saying what the word says. I may get a little bit tired. I may even feel a little bit bored. Why am I doing this? I got to shut my mind down and say, you know what? I got to keep saying what the word says. I control my mouth, and I am determined to declare the word of the Lord over my life. And what I say in accordance with the word of God has got to happen. Sickness, you have no place in my life. Disease, you have no place in my life. Brokenness, you have no place in my life. I decree nothing missing, lacking, or broken. I look at myself in the mirror and say, I'm handsome and I am victorious today. You got to have that confession. Feel good about yourself. Amen. Somebody don't like your nose? Who cares if they don't like your nose? I got a big old nose. I don't care. You may not like my nose. I like my nose. Hallelujah. I like my beard. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. I'm not standing because of a person. I'm standing because of Christ. Hallelujah. That's a good place to clap. What do I want to do now? Amen. I got to stay within my time. Help me, Holy Spirit. Let's go to Matthew 17 and 20. In the King James. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, they weren't able to do something, casting out a certain type of demon. But he says, Jesus, you know, you can't do this right now because of your unbelief. You don't believe. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. And I love the Message translation. It says, because you're not yet taking God seriously, said Jesus. The simple truth is that if you had a mere kernel of faith, a poppy seed, say you would tell this mountain move and it would move. There's nothing you wouldn't be able to tackle. The realm of all things being possible, the realm of overcoming and tackling anything is found in speaking faith. You can't bypass this. This is one of the most important components of faith. Amen. I am going to conclude shortly, praise God, but I really want to share with you a testimony. A very recent testimony, all right, on the topic faith speaks. About a decade ago, I was diagnosed with high blood pressure. So you go through the process, you try to get good readings. You know, for whatever reason, it just wasn't happening. So then they bring out the medications. I'm not even going to try to pronounce them. I'm trying to stay within my time. It's like, why they make these names so long, I have no idea. So it's like, they abbreviate them anyway. So why don't we just go with it, you know? But anyway, so they're trying to find the right combination of medications. And this was well over 10 years ago. Deb and I hadn't been married that long. But really, you know, you ever been on a roller coaster ride? That was my blood pressure, basically. It would appear to be stable for a period of time, and then I would do nothing. You know, just eat breakfast, and wouldn't even something salty, and my blood pressure would just go through the roof. And so I decided, okay, no problem. You know what? I'm going to do everything I can think of. I'm going to do everything in the natural. So I decided, this is probably about 7 years ago, I'm going to change my eating. I mean, I changed. I ate salad every day for lunch for like 2 years.
And I'm not exaggerating. You can ask Courtney. You can ask Bryant. You can ask my wife because she was making the salads. But I said, you know what? I'm going to conquer this. That's it. I'm going to eat right. And after all that, my blood pressure was still bad. And I got a little frustrated. I'm going to be honest with you. It's my testimony. I'm not saying don't follow me into this. But I decided to say, you know what? Forget this. I'm going to eat how I want. I said, I got high blood pressure anyway. So I'm back to my pizza, my chicken, my cheesesteaks, and my wings. I said, hey, it's like, it's going to take faith anyway. I did the natural, and the natural didn't seem to work. I lost 50 pounds. I gained back 60. But I would still have BP flare-ups. And to further complicate matters, routine blood work, probably about 4 years ago, showed that I have very low potassium in addition to high blood pressure. And potassium has a lot to do with energy levels, I found out. So I'm like, okay, this is why I'm so weak and tired and drinking 6 cups of coffee a day, trying to just kind of keep myself together. This is why many mornings I wake up, I wouldn't feel well, just kind of have weird aches and pains. My legs hurt, my arms hurt. I'm like, I wasn't even like lifting weights. I thought I'm just out of shape. I'm like, I'm walking to the kitchen and my legs hurt. It's like, I'm like, that's bad shape, okay? But there was something else going on, okay? So from a medical standpoint, things in the natural were not getting any better. I used to have really bad migraines, part caused by the low potassium and then caused by the high blood pressure, okay? So I developed a confession over this situation a couple years ago. I said maybe 2-3 years ago. Is that right? About that, two, maybe? All right, very specific, all right? And I said every day, many times, multiple times a day, potassium levels, I command you to rise, and blood pressure, I command you to be normal. In Jesus' name. I am prescription free. I have no need for blood pressure medicine. My blood pressure is 120 over 80 in Jesus' name. I wasn't feeling well. So it was kind of hard to get at it. I'm like, man, it's kind of tough and really got, when you go through something and it's difficult to identify. You know, there's a certain level of pressure that just kind of comes with that. I'm like, I don't have anything, you know, like crazy that, you know, you hear that people die of. I'm like, well, I'm just tired, you know, but it wasn't getting any better. And I was drinking coffee. I mean, there's water in coffee, but I tell you, I was drinking a whole lot of coffee. I had a coworker sometimes say, you can say what you want, Pat. You just drank a whole pot of coffee. Because I was trying to rationalize how much coffee. Okay, so all through this time, high blood pressure reading after high blood pressure reading, okay, I kept hearing Pastor James' voice. I keep saying what the word says and keep saying what the word says. And it's tough, but you got to learn to do that in pain. If I keep saying what the word says, and if I keep saying what the word says. 8 months ago, I changed family doctors. In my first appointment with him, he told me something isn't right. I'm like, yeah, no kidding. I'm like, UB's the medical professional. All right. It took a long time to get a medical professional to confirm this. Okay, this is good. Okay, this is good. So I'm thinking, he said, you need to see a kidney doctor. Every day, I'm still believing, I'm still confessing. The kidney doctor does some blood work. All right, after the first visit, second visit, he comes in, you know, kind of has a little strut. He's like, I know what it is. I'm like, you know what it is, is what I'm thinking. But he said, yeah, I know what it is. He said, now I want you to have a CAT scan to be 100% sure I'm right. But he told me that my adrenal gland was not working properly, and he thinks I had hyperaldosteronism. Exactly. I worked on that word all day, man. Let me tell you, phonetic, Google, you know, play it out loud. All right. I'm like, say what? Basically, he said, it's a growth on your adrenal gland that causes your body to keep sodium. There's a high blood pressure. All right. And causes my body to release potassium. And that's what causes the weakness and the pain. The whole time, I'm still confessing. And Chandler, you can help me out with that table. And then Deb. All right. I'm confessing this. Potassium levels, I command you to rise. And blood pressure, I command you to be normal in Jesus' name. I am prescription free. I have no need for blood pressure medicine. My blood pressure is 120 over 80 in Jesus' name. I kept confessing it. I kept confessing it. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. I guess you can keep the towel. I want the towel. Yes, ma'am. Don't scratch the table. I know that's right. All right. So throughout this period of time of 3 to 4 years, when it was at its worst, I took anywhere between 6 and 12 pills a day. If I keep saying what the word says, there's the mountain.
if I keep saying what the word says. I'm taking the pills, but I'm confessing, I don't need this. I'm taking it now. This is my last day taking you. And these potassium pills, they're big and they're hard to swallow. And if you don't drink, I got to drink a lot of water fast to get it down. And I had to take six of them. So at one time, I would take up to 12 pills, and six blood pressure pills, six potassium pills, okay? As it turns out, the CAT scan confirmed my kidney doctor's suspicion. I had a growth on my right adrenal gland, and he said to fix it for good, I should get the gland removed. And I'm like, you should take it out now. I'm like, you can just go ahead. It's like, you know, I've been waiting a long time. I'm like, what are we waiting for? There it is. Come on now. He's like, now wait a minute. He's like, there's a process for this. He's like, because that's an organ. So I ended up going through the process. All right. So I had the surgery on February 26th. I had my right gland removed. Let me tell you, I'm feeling great. Today, my blood pressure at follow-up visit was 123 over 83. I haven't seen that number in well over a decade. You got it? And that's with none of this. No pills at all. I got what I confessed. I said I am prescription free, that my blood pressure is perfect, that I no longer need potassium or high blood pressure pills. And because I kept saying what the word says and kept saying what the word says, eventually the word had to manifest in my life. Amen. I feel better at 42 than I did at 32. I'm telling you, I feel great. God is good. And the surgeon told me that it was amazing that the kidney doctor found this, because he hadn't seen a case like this in over 25 years. And he said, most of the time, people who deal with this, it goes undetected. But I know God is the one who led me to the right primary care doctor, who recommended me to the right kidney doctor to get the thing that was bothering me out of my life. Amen. So I share all that to encourage you. This was my mountain. All right, and I had symptoms, and I don't know what you're facing tonight, but perhaps you're on that much medicine, perhaps you're on more, but I do know this, if you keep saying what the word says, with his stripes I'm healed, amen, healing is the children's bread, amen, he took 39 stripes on his back, amen, amen, he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, hallelujah, if I just keep saying it, and 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 keep saying it, I see the word manifest in my life. Would you just give God a hand of praise? Because the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. Amen. I don't know what you're going through tonight. I don't know what you're facing, but I do know this. If you lock into faith and speak, it will come to pass. God is no respecter of persons. He is, however, a respecter of faith. And if I do the word, he watches over his word to perform it in my life. I am out of time. Give the Lord one more hand of praise. Amen.